B-Pod Studios.
It's 5 o'clock hour. Mike, listen up. It's 5 o'clock hour. We're live in Clearwater. What will the hour be when we're in Clearwater in the 5 o'clock hour?
I'm afraid.
What could it possibly be?
I'm afraid.
I broke my lantern. Rodney Bird is engineering today. Rodney picks the good times to come for engineering.
Yeah, last year when the team wasn't popping, Rodney wasn't here.
Rodney's here this year. Clearwater, I'm in.
He'll be back next week too.
I haven't seen Rodney in 3 years.
Yeah, me neither.
Also, not Rodney. The 5 o'clock hour is brought to us by Guided Door and Window. We receive 20% off all windows and doors with no money down and up to 3 years to pay it off interest free. Call Guided Door and Window today, 1-877-GO-GUIDA, or visit goguida.com. And this broadcast, of course, is made possible by Ferguson HVAC Lyon Conklin, providing contractors throughout the Delaware Valley with equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Ferguson might be contributing a little for the first-class ticket on Sunday.
It could be possible. Company, when they were telling you no, the company never mentioned that they had a beautiful sponsor in Ferguson HVAC.
Yeah, the company's going to hit them up with an extra bill, it looks like. We'll hear from Bryce Harper in just a little bit. Let's go to Wade in Chester. Wade, go ahead, buddy. Thanks for hanging.
Yeah, no doubt, Mike. Hey, yo, Mike, I got a question for you, man.
Yes, sir.
Don't take it personal. You know, I'm not a Brett Brown hater.
All right. I'm not going to take it.
Why is he, all right, he all hyped up because he's a prodigy of Popovich, right? That's why he got the job, right?
Yeah. Yep.
He don't do what Popovich do. He don't put his foot down. We'll make Pop. He's tough. Brett Brown don't do that. He don't. And then when I was listening to Gabe talk on your show, now he was talking about taking a step forward. What step did Ben Simmons take this year forward? Don't say because he made the All-Stars, because he should have made the All-Stars last year, but they robbed him for Dragic.
Listen, he's a better overall player this year.
Oh, yeah.
If you're talking about the shot, I don't have an answer for that. I don't understand it. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, I don't understand either. But I feel, though, like, all right, he ain't going to make the shot, but you can take a step forward by attempting the shot.
Only way you're going to make them is if you attempt them.
Right, that's what I'm saying. He don't even attempt them.
And that's the mindset year. I don't understand. You're absolutely right, Wade.
And Brett Brown don't, and then when they got the rebound, it was 50-some seconds left, and Ben Simmons pushed it full court when he should have slowed it down, and all the dumb mistakes they be making on the court, that come from the coach because he ain't preaching from the top. Like, Ben Simmons just started playing point guard. He ain't been no point guard. So, like, get it in his head. You get the ball, slow it down. We're going to run some clock, run a play, get fouled. And then I got one more other thing, man, going to take me off.
Well, what time were you talking about with that? Because we had another call to talk about slowing it down. You talking about in the last minute?
Yeah, it was like 50-some seconds. Like, yeah, you said to that caller, no.
Yeah, 50-some seconds
said,
left.
Yeah, again, you said to the caller, no, don't slow it down. Just go ahead and do it. It'll be like the same thing. Nah, you run the 24 seconds down, you take off, and then you get the last shot. You get a shot up before the 24 seconds out, you take out all the time, you still about two. Now they got 30-some seconds or 20-some seconds to try to tie the game up or go and win it with a three-pointer. Like, turn that clock out.
With the 24-second clock, it doesn't really come into play. Now, he turned the ball over, right? So it's his fault.
Yeah, now...
He turned the ball over. 58.1 we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
So Markkanen lost the ball with a turnover. The Sixers get possession. So they want Ben to slow it down instead of rush it up, and he lost the ball out of bounds.
Tough part is, though, up two in the league where everybody shoots threes. Now, that's not enough. Now, up four, even up three, where the worst thing that happens is overtime, then you slow it down. Two, you got to jugular the game because if you miss, they're still going to have a full 24-second clock in that scenario to beat you.
Exactly. See, old school basketball is, you slow it down, get a good possession. But with the 24-second clock, it really doesn't apply like that. All right, Chuck in North Carolina. Chuck, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chuck.
Mikey Minnis, how's everybody doing today?
What's up, Chuck? How you doing?
Y'all enjoying that southern weather?
Well, it's 70 degrees. It's going to be 77 tomorrow, so yes. The answer to that is yes. In fact, after the show, we're going to go over to the Tiki Bar, have a pop, and I'm going to light up a cigar.
You're going to have a pop? Don't call it a pop down there. They're going to look at you like you don't know what you're talking about.
No, a pop.
You got to call it Coca-Cola. Tell them you want a Coca-Cola. Say, I want a Coca-Cola.
A drink, we're talking about. A pop means a drink, a beer. You know, come on, man.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, when I lived in Michigan, we called a pop as a soda.
No. I don't mean pop as in soda.
You want a barley pop. We call it a barley pop.
All right.
That's just so. Look, I got three things. One.
Yeah, what?
Have you ever interviewed Bryce Harper?
No, that was the first time.
It was a fantastic interview. I really enjoyed it. I liked the questions that you asked. I liked how he answered everything. You know, you got a star right there. He's going to really make Philadelphia shine. So hopefully he does well for the other three sports that I like in this town.
Yeah, he came off great. He couldn't have been any better. He came off great.
All right, two more things. Second one, do you want to pursue Michael Bennett? Do you think he's worth another year?
Yeah, I do. I would keep Michael Bennett.
And then number three, the other day when you said that people call in all the time, you know, and I heard Tyrone mention.
That's right. You're a regular, Chuck. You're a regular.
But I consider y'all like family. You know, I really do. I don't get to talk to anybody like I get to talk with y'all about sports, and I love my sports.
And we consider you family because we know the whole saga of, you know, the house and all that kind of stuff. So we're living that.
I have moved in.
There you go.
I moved in.
There you go, Chuck.
See that? We're living that right along with you.
Hold on, one thing.
We live your Southern life, and we live Bob's Southern life.
All right, one more. Look, Tyrone, I have a wife and a son. I don't have a daughter.
Oh, all right. Well,
but look, my son is huge. He's a big-time football player.
Uh-huh.
But he does not talk about football. He does not watch football. He could care less. But he is 14 years old. He is 6'3". He weighs 275 pounds, and he wears a men's 17-inch shoe. And I believe he could be Lane Johnson's replacement.
Yeah,
wow.
He's 14, and he loves football. But as soon as he takes off the pads, he does not talk about it, does not watch it, and does not care about it. So you guys are my outlet. So,
all right, Chucky, man, you have a good night.
Don't enjoy
Thanks,
yourself,
buddy. All right, bud. All right, you got it. All right, that'll leave us a little time to cut to a little interview we did in the 2 o'clock hour, right after his workout. He was in a simulated game today against some hard throwing minor league pitchers. They hit in groups of three. There was three of them that were hitting. One was the catcher Goyon, who played today, and another minor leaguer named Hernandez. And Bryce Harper was getting his at bats. He hit the first ball he saw. He hit it late. He hit it off the end of the bat, and it flew over the left field fence. That was the first ball he hit. So we had a chance to talk to him in the booth today. He came on up and hung out, and here's how it sounded. Walking in right now is the man himself, Bryce Harper. Bryce, thanks for coming in, man. Have a seat. We'll strap you up. Thanks for coming up. I know you just got done a workout, and I was over there watching a little bit. First of all, how are you feeling right now at this stage of spring training?
I feel good. It feels like, you know, my first, week of spring, just like it would be. So, just taking my time, trying to, you know, stay healthy, of course, and, get some at-bats and see where I'm at.
Yeah, it looked like that's what you were doing over there. It's a simulated game. They had some guys throwing some gas over there. I know they were bringing in some guys. What were you trying to do? The first ball you hit, actually, I think you missed it a little bit, but it went out the left field. So what are you trying to do at this point? Just track it or not get overly aggressive and just to figure out the strike zone right now?
Yeah, I mean, just see as many pitches as I can. Some of those at-bats over there, I just take some and, just see as many pitches as I can. You know, trying to see rotation, trying to see spin, and, see some velo as well and just get my timing down and get ready for games.
What is it like coming to a new clubhouse from where you were? And is it odd? I have to meet all these guys, get to know everybody's names, and a ton of minor leaguers out there that you're working out with. What's that like?
Yeah, I think being somewhere for 7 years, it's a lot different. Change is good. You know, it's good to be able to come into a clubhouse like this, and everybody was open arms and, very positive and, happy to have me and things like that. So the transition's been really good. First week has been, a lot of fun and getting to know, different guys from, afar playing against them and, actually getting to know them on a personal level now is great. So, being able to play with Reese and Rio and a lot of these guys that have been here and know the organization, know the city very well, and, it's fun.
I thought it was interesting when those guys were throwing to you over there, after they were done throwing to you, you made a special point to go out and say something to them. What are you saying to those pitchers?
Yeah, just tell them thank you. You know, those minor leaguers over there, they grind all year long. And, you know, for me to be able to go over there and face them and them take their time to throw to me, you know, that's huge. You know, get me ready for my season and, you know, vice versa. So just tell them thank you. And, you know, I appreciate them doing that for me. And, yeah, that's pretty much it.
You guys do the same routine tomorrow and then ready for that first game on Saturday?
Yeah, so working out in the morning and, you know, hitting, of course, and doing that. But, you know, no simulated games or anything like that. So just trying to, you know, get ready for Saturday and, you know, get going.
Again, the first game, I mean, it's almost like your first game all over again playing in this spring training game. Is that going to feel odd to finally face live pitching in a game after all this time has gone by?
Yeah, I mean, I think going out there and just getting out there finally for the first time again, you're always excited. You're always excited to get to spring training and be around the guys, be around the fans again, and, you know, get in the batter's box and, you know, hopefully make things happen. So take it one day at a time, see how I feel, and, you know, just progress from there each and every day and, you know, get ready for opening day.
Do you have any idea? Well, I'm sure you have a little idea, but have you appreciated the magnitude of what your presence has meant to this city? I know you're down here. You're not in Philadelphia. We're in Philadelphia talking to people every day. And when that signing came down, you flipped the town like upside down.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just goes to show how good the fan base is. Being able to play in a city that cares about their sports and live and die by their sports, and if that's the Eagles, Sixers, Flyers, or us, you know, they care, and they do the things for us every single year to come out and support us and, you know, do the things to, you know, support every team in the city. So, you know, they win and lose with us, and they go on the ride with us all year long. So I'm looking forward to, you know, opening day and getting back to playing every single day and, you know, enjoying a new city, enjoying a new culture of fans, and I look forward to it.
Here's what I don't think you realize. You bought yourself immunity for a long time in this city. You have, because you chose this city. There aren't a lot of free agents that choose Philadelphia. There's some players that have played here that have come in acquisitions and things like that. But, you know, right there, you can go back to Pete Rose in 1980 or Jim Tomey or whatever. You're the guy that chose this city, and you played everything perfectly. I mean, you've talked them. The press conference was a thing of beauty, and so I don't know what Worth has told you, but you bought immunity for at least a year. Like, you could have a golden sombrero, and they're not going to get on you.
You know, I think I wanted to make this decision, you know, for me and my family's decision, you know, by ourselves. You know, I talked to Worth here and there, but ultimately, you know, I didn't want any outside influence. You know, coming to Philly for the last couple of years, playing in D.C. and whatnot, I was able to, you know, learn what kind of fan base they were and learn, you know, how they acted and things like that and what a city it was. And, you know, seeing them go on their, you know, run in 08 and things like that, you know, seeing Utley and Rollins and, you know, just all the guys that were part of that club and Charlie Manuel, and seeing the fan base just get behind them and really thrive and do the things they were supposed to do. It was awesome. I mean, growing up at, you know, 15, 16 years old, you remember watching the Phillies and things like that and seeing that run. So, you know, I'm very excited to be able to dig my roots somewhere and be somewhere for, you know, 13 years of my career. And it was huge for me to have a no trade and, you know, being able to have no opt-outs and really put my faith into an organization and then put their faith into me as well. And, you know, that's what it's all about. You know, I'm able to possibly, you know, grow my family there when that happens. And, you know, I'm very excited to be able to do that and know that I'm going to be there and go through the winning seasons and the losing seasons, and you know, hopefully more winning than losing, of course, and you know, just go about it the right way.
I know Worth did tell you that or you were surprised that when they kept booing him when he came in as a National every time he came in, which was kind of weird. I didn't really understand that either, because all he did was sign a better contract with somebody, but you did question why they booed him.
Yeah, you know, I think we were booing him more in our dugout than the fans were, but you know, I totally understand it. You know, you go somewhere else and, you know, the prior fan base, things like that. But, you know, that's baseball. That's sports. So I think you just go about it.
So you know you're going to get that in Washington when it happens.
Yeah, I mean, probably. I think some will, some won't.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's how it was with Worth. You know, some did, some didn't. So, I mean, it's just, I don't know. I mean, we'll see what happens.
Take me through the process of going through this. It's a really hard thing. You must gone through waiting all that time and getting information every day and seeing all this stuff on social media. You didn't want Philadelphia. You wanted somewhere else. They were lowballing you. All this stuff. How did you stay away from all that and stay quiet within yourself?
Yeah, like I said, it was a decision for me and my family to make, me and my wife, to really sit down and make that decision to, go somewhere where we really wanted to be. And, I had the 4-year offers, I had the 8-year offers, and, I had the long term. And for me, it was about the long term. It was about being in a city that I could, really see myself. And, fans were genuine and the neighborhoods were genuine and they really cared about, their city and their organizations that they have, and where I could impact the community on and off the field, and really do the things for, Philadelphia. And it means something to have Philadelphia across your chest and the Phillies across your chest. And you could see that when you go in and play that team. And, for me, being able to sit down with John and Lee and really try to understand, the schools and the hospitals and, kind of not bigger decisions, but those decisions that really affect your life long term. So for me, it was also, for on the field and off the field purposes. And, Philly just, it felt right. Every time I met with them, it felt good. And, we never had any, bad things in our minds about meeting with them or anything like that. So every time we met with them, it was very real. It was very open and honest. And, I enjoyed that.
When it was over, sense of relief?
Absolutely. I remember getting the call last Thursday that morning, and, it was 9 a.m. or 8 a.m., and Scott called me and said, the Phillies made their final offer, and, now the decision-making, starts. And so, I sat there with my wife, and, we really kind of sat there and was like, yeah, we're going to go to Philly. And then Sam Fran called like immediately after we said that. I remember hugging her and going, yeah, we're going to Philly. Like, I'm excited. Let's freaking pack. Let's get down to Clearwater. And then Sam Fran called and they offered. And I was like, man, okay, now I got to try to make a decision. But I looked at my wife. I said, we're going to Philly. Like, I already made my decision. Like, it's in my mind. We're going to go to Philly. We're going to play in the, NL East. And, that's where we were going.
Were you close to turning down that call?
Which one?
San Francisco when they came?
No, because for me, it was just giving that opportunity to think about it. But I thought about it for about a second, and I was like, no, I already hugged my wife. We're going to Philly.
Love it. It's so cool to have you here. And have you decided where you're going to live? And have you studied in neighborhoods and areas and where you want to root?
Yeah, so when the Phillies came in, they kind of gave us, some areas to look at and things like that, over the next couple of months. They came in late January, so they gave us, Haddonfield and Old City and, right downtown as well. I can't think of what the
main name. Line, maybe?
I'm not sure. Maybe it starts with an R, Rittenhouse.
Downtown. So you're going to live downtown.
I mean, I don't. We're not sure. Yeah. I mean, so for us, it's just trying to find the best spot for us and, figure out the best fit. So,
all right, let me talk hitting. I love talking hitting with guys. I look at your swing, and it's a violent swing. And you generate great bat speed from that. How long did it take you to develop that kind of a style?
My dad kind of, wanted us to feel the game, to, really understand what worked for us. I think at the end of the day, your swing is going to be your swing. As much as you tweak it this way or tweak it that way, you always go, back to what works for you. And, that's what I always try to do. I think, staying within yourself and understanding how you work, how you tick. Of course, you're going to make, different decisions on different days and things like that, but your swing's your swing. Your routine should be your routine every single day. And, go back to what works for you. Remember who you are, remember where you came from, and understand, why you're in the big leagues in the first place. And, my dad instilled that into me for a long time when I was younger. And, being able to have a support system that I do at home, and know that, my dad understands my swing than, more than most people. I can always call him and ask him, what's going on or anything like that. And then he'll sometimes call me and go, don't call me. You don't need me. You're all in your head or something like that. So, we're our best coaches, knowing and understanding our swing and things like that. So just try to get better every day. Know that I can learn something new every day and get better.
What's the trigger? I mean, for a guy with that kind of bat speed, is it true that you look for a breaking pitch and adjust to a fastball? Is that your approach?
I don't want to give that to anybody.
Because that's almost impossible
but
to
yeah,
do.
Yeah, it's definitely different. For me, I enjoy hitting the off-speed. Guys throw so hard now that you know, you're going to see 97, 98 possibly each and every day. So you got to gear up for that, be ready for that. But, you know, for me, it's just trying to, you know, really understand what works for me and, you know, what the guy's going to do out there. So if I can sit on a pitch and really know that he's going to throw it to me one time in the at-bat, then I better not miss it. And, you know, I think that's the thing about a good hitter and a great hitter is they don't miss their pitches. You know, you see some of the really, really good hitters, they don't miss. And then you see some of your average guys that foul something back. And, you know, I've been there. You know, I've been able to foul some stuff back and go, man, I should have hit that thing. But, you know, it's trying to get the barrel on the ball as much as possible and, you know, not hit it to the guys in the infield or, you know, the outfield. So
I have to ask you this. I know you've been asked a million times, but did you think the league overreacted to that tampering comment?
You know, I think it's people think about it and you sit there and somebody says something, it's like, man, you know, maybe I shouldn't have said it or something like that. But for me, it's if I get the question of trying to get a free agent or something like that, and, you know, it's their off season, it's their, you know, they're done playing with that team, and I'm able to talk to them, and, you know, they call me and say, hey, Bryce, you know, what do you think about Philly? You know, for me, I can put the trust in my organization and the trust in myself to be able to say, hey, yeah, this is a great spot for us. This is a great fit for you. And, you know, that's I think that's all sports. You know, it's everybody. And why wouldn't I want some, you know, somebody of the caliber of the player that I talked about not to be on the Phillies or anybody
else?
You're
talking about that all the time.
Absolutely. So, I mean, you want all the best players to be able to come to your team. And you have to respect the fact that, you know, they're on a different team now and things like that. But also, you know, why would you not want some of the best team, you know, guys in the league to be on your team and try to be the best team in the league?
All right, there he was, Bryce Harper, sounding real like a gentleman. Sounded like he really wants to be here. Philly was the place he wanted to be. He was excited. Everybody else is excited. The town's turned on for baseball right now, and he makes his debut Saturday right here at Spectrum Field against the Toronto Blue Jays. Hitting third, as Gabe Kapler revealed a little earlier today. I'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get as many calls as we can until we get the sound off right here as we head down the home stretch of the show, the Mike Missanelli Show, live from Clearwater, back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
On the Fanatic.
Brought to you by Family Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, where you're more than a customer, you're family. Visit familyautos.com.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
I look at Mike Scott and I look at Jimmy Butler and I see a 30-year-old and a 29-year-old. I'm not blaming Brett Brown for that. I'm blaming Brett Brown for having no clue what to do with Zach LaVine. The Bulls saw what the Sixers weren't doing and exploited the hell out of it, and there was no adjustment to me.
Middays with Gargano and Martinez.
If there's anybody that's going to touch the ball, it's going to be Zach LaVine. He's your best player, so the coach has to understand and parlay that to his team.
We've talked about it at the Brett Brown referendum. It's going right into the toilet right now and circling the
it
drain.
It is!
The Mike Missanelli Show.
That signing came down. You flipped the town like upside down.
This goes to show how good the fan base is. Being able to play in a city that cares about their sports and live and die by their sports, and if that's the Eagles, Sixers, Flyers, or us, they do the things for us every single year to come out and support us and, you know, do the things to support every team in the city. You know, they win and lose with us, and I'm looking forward to, you know, opening day and getting back to playing every single day and, you know, enjoying a new city, enjoying a new culture of fans, and I look forward to it.
Listen all day, every day to 97.5 The Fanatic, the voice of the Philly sports fan.
All righty, we're back on the Mike Missanelli Show, coming down the home stretch here on a beautiful Thursday in Clearwater, Florida, where it was 70 degrees. Beautiful, sunshiny day on the ballpark today. Phil's got thumped by the Yankees, though, 6-0. Not that it matters, because starting Saturday, I think you will see a starting lineup, because they're not going to surround Bryce Harper with bums, are they?
Nah,
they got to put the starting. With Bryce Harper's first insertion in the lineup, hitting third, by the way, they will, I think, lay out the starting lineup for maybe the first time in spring training.
Yep.
All right, let's get a couple calls before. Oh, wow. Well, it's time for a final Twitter poll.
Yes.
My smile. Yes. That's thanks to Tyler Zuli. Hit the right button. Producing the show today. Back at the studio. Nice job by Tyler, Penn Stater. The Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. Attention all landscapers looking to repower a zero-turn or a walk-behind mower. Moyer has the best deals around for an engine replacement in stock. Visit paulbmoyer.com for details.
Over 2,000 votes today, Mike. Who or what lost the Sixers game last night? 39% blame Brett Brown, 12% blame Mike Scott, 49% blame the defense.
All right, a lot of blame. The defense and Brett Brown and the defensive coach, Billy Lay, who's kind of under the radar.
He is.
They were a better defensive team last year, and I guess he's got to take some of the heat.
Yeah, this season he put too much on Embiid's plate, and I mm-hmm. think that's part of the reason why Embiid's run down. Mm-hmm. He's asked to do too much, and last year Lloyd knew what to do as far as, you give Embiid a certain amount, but don't put mm-hmm. too much on his plate and play better team defense. This defense is like 90% Embiid and 10% everybody else,
yep.
and that's too much.
Joel, I got to have you back in the lineup, Hom. Let's go AJ in West Philly. AJ, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. AJ.
What up, Mike?
What's going on, AJ?
I'm good. Listen to all these dumb callers, man. Yo, every caller that called and say he want Brett Brown fired is an idiot. Flat out idiot. These idiots wasn't watching. We only won 10 games or 28 games. Brett Brown only had a good team for last year and this year. But they want to act like he can take all them bums and make all these wins and miracles happen, man. The next time somebody say fire Brett Brown, I want you to ask them what coach you want them to replace them with. Because half these idiots don't even know the coaches available to replace them with, Mike.
There are plenty of coaches that'll be available. It won't be hard finding replacements if they decide that he's not the guy. And listen, what are you going to say, AJ? What are you going to say if they lose in the second round?
I'm going to say come back in an off season with Jimmy Butler knowing his role with Tobias. Head, give him 82 games.
So you're giving him another year. If they lose in the second round, they lose badly.
Of course, I'm going to give Brett Brown another year. But the key is, I'm not a dumb fan. These fans are so dumb. They don't know the coaches that's available. These fans don't know the players coming out in the draft. They don't know how the contracts work, how we can go over the salary cap to sign players. These fans is idiots when it comes to basketball. Anybody got anything to say? I'm in West Philly. Come holler at me.
All right, AJ. Let's go to T-Love. T-Love and colleague there. What's up, T?
Yo, now that you got that knucklehead off the line, okay. And I'm going to tell you this. First, I'm going to say pass to Kavassier. I got 6 Cohibas left. All right?
Oh, I got now, one. That one you gave is in the humidor. In fact, I brought it on the trip. It's on the trip.
Brother, there you go. Pass to Kavassier. Huh? What? Hey, let me tell you something, man. I got to give you kudos. First of all, kudos for making a robot look human. Okay? And I'm talking about Gabe. That was a good interview.
Well, Gabe's charming.
Oh, you brought it. You brought more out of him, man. He didn't seem as much robotic and airy. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and that was a good interview. That was
thank you.
You made us say, okay, I want to give this guy a chance now. Okay, when you hit him with the lineup. You know what I mean? He was like, okay, you know what I mean? And now that I gave you the kudos, I'm going to pull a little bit of that back, okay?
All right.
Brett Brown is killing his team, and I need you to stop saying that Embiid is not here, and this is the reason.
I didn't say that wasn't the reason. I have disagreed with Brett Brown, and I've criticized Brett Brown. Only thing I'm saying to you is we won't know for sure until this playoff situation comes around and we see how they react. There's no use complaining about him now. He's not going to change.
Mike, I get what you're saying, but their fundamental basketball is terrible. The coach's fundamental knowledge of the game is flawed. Everything they do, from these guys bringing the ball up
turning it over. Ben Simmons is a turnover machine. I like it now that he's getting a little grit and he's starting to back people in, but I mean, he's turning around and just throwing a ball up. You got to know what you're doing. Magic Johnson took over center and beat the Sixers by himself.
You got it. I mean, here's
this is the guy they keep preparing this guy to.
Thanks, T-Love. Here's the thing that people don't understand about NBA coaches, all except for the guys that have clout. And there, how many have clout? Two? Popovich has clout. Who else has clout?
Kerr now.
All right, Kerr has a little clout, but he's not saying anything to that team that's going on.
Spoelstra a little bit down in Miami, got a little clout now.
A little bit. But a guy like Ben Simmons, you can't be hard on, because what you have to worry about is way in the future. You need to preserve Ben Simmons as a Sixer. So you can't get on Ben Simmons' bad side. You got to coach him almost gingerly, because you can turn him off and he'll say, you know what, I got places to go. And it's not here. So you always got to balance that out. Now, I'm not making excuses for Brett Brown, but it's not like Brett Brown can grab him by the scruff and say, I need you to do this. You know, like Bobby Knight or somebody.
Right. No.
You can't coach that way.
It's a player's. That's the tough part. It's harder to coach in the NBA right now than any other sport.
It is. Guaranteed contract.
And they're in charge. And they're more important. And they are, unfortunately, more important. Ben Simmons is more important than the coach.
And Jimmy Butler's more important than the coach. So when Jimmy Butler bitches and moans, guess who's going to lose the battle? Brett Brown's going to lose the battle. Jimmy's the player. They need to preserve him. They need to keep him on this team. They need to keep him and keep Tobias Harris. You got to coach your way in the middle, so you don't turn anybody off, but still get your message across. All right, we'll see how it all works out in the end. That's what I'm waiting for. Mike Missanelli Show coming up is Sound Off right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Time for you to sound off.
You got a beef with me? What in the hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
Oh, you don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number five will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today. Brought to you by the Minimally Invasive Spine Institute at Rothman Orthopedics. Minimally invasive, maximally effective. RothmanSpine.com. Let's keep going. Sound off.
All right, time for Sound Off, 610-771-9705. We're doing Sound Off. We're in Florida. Sound Off in Philly. But that's all right. Anything that's on your mind, like last night's Sixer game, you probably lighten it up. We went through them, and here's what we've compiled for Sound Off.
You know, on paper, this Sixers team is a super team. On the court, it's an all-star team. You got so much damn talent here. Will you get this village idiot of a coach out of here?
Well, it's a little too late for that, my friend. Only a few games left. You're not going to get another coach. You got to live with it. Again, listen, put your rear end. Everybody's had a red ass. Put your rear end on ice until the playoffs. And then, if it's if dissatisfactory to you, get off the ice block and start firing.
Brett Brown did not coach his best game last night. But we must remember, the fourth quarter, last 6 minutes of the game, we had $3. Ben with a careless turnover. After an offensive rebound, quick shot by J.J. Redick, missed. Jimmy Butler missing a couple layups.
Tobias Harris missed a layup, too, I thought, in that whole sequence. Now, you're right. Guys got to make shots. Guys got to be instinctive enough to make the right defensive plays. It's easy to blame the coach. You got five professional players out on the floor that should know what they're doing.
I don't know what else to say about Brett Brown. His defensive rotations are terrible. His substitution patterns are ridiculous. Ennis played tonight but didn't play yesterday. Simmons played yesterday but didn't play tonight. But McConnell played 20 minutes both nights. Why is T.J. McConnell playing 20 minutes?
Yeah, I don't understand the Ennis-Simmons thing either. Like, stick with something. You know, like, I don't understand. Why don't they play one over the other?
He said what he doesn't want to do is give either guy too small of amount of minutes. So he told him straight up, it's a competition going into the playoffs. Only one of you is going to really play. So he's going to give. Uh-huh. It's going to be like that night to night. Like tomorrow, you're going to see Ennis again because it's his former team. Just like you saw him against his former team. That's kind of what it's going to be. And then in the playoffs, you're only going to see one of them, and the other one's just going to be an emergency. And TJ, to his defense, is the only point guard on the roster. And they didn't love the Jimmy Butler running the point thing because he didn't seem to know the plays. So that's where they're at. It's not perfect.
Why is J.J. Redick getting a free pass? Last night, he misses a wide-open three after Harris gets a rebound off a missed foul shot. He has a crucial turnover going back to the Golden State game. Wide-open three at the end of the game that could have helped him win, and he missed a running layup. Why is he getting a free pass?
Well, we know what J.J.'s limitations are. I mean, J.J. Redick's going to make threes or he's not going to make threes. He's never going to defend. So, like, what are we not? Are we going to yell about his defense? We already know he can't defend. And it's not easy to make three-pointers at a 50% clip, right? So he's making them at a 40% clip, which is what you can expect. It's not a free pass, but I hear what you're saying.
If we don't get rid of Brett Brown next year, we go nowhere. This guy sucks.
There it is, like clockwork. Sixers lose. Brett, sorry, brother. Don't turn on your radio.
This Jimmy Butler talk has got me going up. He can put the dude 1-4. He can play defense. He can dribble. He can dish. The dude doesn't play until the fourth quarter. He's lazy. But the man is a star. You can't deny it. And this team will be losing games without him.
I agree. I like Jimmy Butler, and I also like your point. I wish the guy would play like a killer every minute that he's out there. I thought that's the type of player he was. He has taken a step down from that level that he used to play at with the Chicago Bulls. No question in my mind.
Last night's Sixers game, I'm still dumbfounded, and I'm starting to believe that it might be Brett Brown that is the problem. When the Sixers have like three, maybe two, and they get a rebound with 30 seconds left, why are they rushing the ball down the court constantly?
That's where they play. Not a slow-down team. They get the ball in Ben Simmons' hands. They want him to get down the floor. They think they can get a basket out of it.
This is getting ridiculous. They should have beat this team by 15 points. They get a 10-point lead, and before you know it, it's gone. God bless Simmons, but he needs to slow down a little bit. They made a steal toward the end of the game. He's running down the court. Next thing you know, he pops it out of bounds. Come on. I mean, it's just stupid basketball.
Yeah, he makes those kind of plays because he's in a hurry too much. Now, there's one. He's always going to play fast, right? So you're not going to get him to slow down like a traditional point guard and then oversee the landscape like Mark Price or whoever, right? But he does make careless mistakes.
Am I crazy to think that Corey Brewer would be a better option off the bench at this point than these other guys? I mean, does Ennis even play? I don't even see him out there. At least Corey Brewer made an impact on the game.
Nah, Corey Brewer didn't make an impact on the game. Ennis played well last night. I don't know, were you watching the game last night? He played.
Yeah, now, here's the thing we got to be honest about with Corey Brewer. In this league, for his career, he's a 28.3% foul shooter. I mean, three-point shooter. This year, he's up to a whopping 28.6%.
Yeah, can't shoot it. We saw that.
And if you can't make a three at all, and you have Ben Simmons out there who doesn't shoot a three, or TJ, you can't have multiple guys, especially wings, who don't make the three ball at all. Ennis can make 36, 37% of threes.
Yes, he can.
So that's why he's there versus Brewer, and that's why you just can't live with
that. You're really getting desperate when you bring up Corey Brewer. I mean, I like his hustle, too, but there are a lot of things he can't do for you.
Hockey has got to get rid of that three-point game where you give a point to someone that loses in overtime. You just can't catch anybody in the standings.
Come on, man. That's the all-important point. Hockey has perfected.
There is something. You know what they should do? They should do what soccer does. There's one thing that the English Premier League does. For a win, you get 3 points. For a tie, you only get 1 point.
So if you win in overtime, you get three.
And then the team that loses overtime would only get 1 point, so you still get two. That would make up gaps, and it puts more. That 2 points versus one is the problem. Make it 3 points versus one, and it doesn't bother you as much.
Would you like me to get started on what's wrong with hockey?
That's
we have till 6:30?
Nah.
All right.
Yeah, I see that LeBron broke Michael Jordan's all-time scoring record. So I guess the debate goes on. Nah, I don't see the debate. You know, Michael Jordan's the best player to ever live. And I don't see anything that LeBron could do to unsee him.
Well, I agree with you. I think Jordan's the best of all time. It didn't matter if he passed him last night. But I had this really interesting reaction to this argument. Well, there's a taint, the legacy of LeBron if his team doesn't make the playoffs this year. How many times did Michael Jordan's teams miss the playoffs when he first came into the league? How many? Multiple times?
Yeah. And
right?
And he got swept in the first round.
Multiple times he didn't make the playoffs.
Yep.
All right, close it down. Now.
Today of Sound. Brought to you by the Minimally Invasive Spine Institute at Rothman Orthopedics. Minimally invasive, maximally effective. RothmanSpine.com. Got a beef?
I don't like them.
What are you?
Because I don't like
their brain. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your sound off gets on.
See you later.
All right, sound off. 610-771-9705. Again, Tyler, thanks a lot for a nice job back at the studio. We had fun here today at the ballpark. We'll be back here tomorrow talking to the general manager, maybe talking to Andrew McCutchen, other players, as the Phillies are on the road tomorrow to play the Atlanta Braves down there at, where is that? Where
in
that?
Orlando.
Orlando, Florida.
Yeah,
Disney World.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, everybody have a great rest of the night. Anthony, the Cuz. It's a Cuz in the house. The Cuz Corner, live from the Turf Club. And then Devon Gibbons will be in following that. So stay tuned for Anthony and Devon and Joe Torti later. Keep it right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Have a great night in cold Philadelphia. Signing off from warm Florida. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.